good way to describe it. Wet and wild. It has been crazy. We've been getting some hail the size of mothballs here at the KVOI studios, and really was coming down for a while there. Crazy weather here in Tucson. Hi, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ed Alexander, Ed producing and engineering the show. We welcome you to the program. It is the 29th of October, a Thursday afternoon, 2015, coming to you live from AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We live stream our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And if you miss a program, we've got you covered. We've got the podcasts and the complete archive at buckmastershow.com, all of our shows there. And they're available, of course, 24/7. We're going to begin with a newsmaker interview. Ward 6, Tucson City Councilman Democrat Steve Kasachek will be up to bat here in a moment. Then Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod of the Tech Council of Arizona, joins us. And we'll wrap up the show with our friend Dr. Mark Sneller, the air quality expert. And he can give us the downside of all the wet weather on our allergies. The live line number 790-2040. It's open now for you if you have a question or comment or a concern for Councilman Steve Kasachek. Give us a call. Our Facebook page is under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and you can also follow us on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Well, the three finalists have now been interviewed for the job of the next Tucson Police Chief to replace retiring Roberto Villasenor. Those interviews occurred this morning. We have a deputy chief from Dallas being interviewed. We had a former police chief up in Provo, Utah, and we have the current police chief in Richmond, California, over in the East Bay of the San Francisco Bay Area. Let's join now on the live line Steve Kasachek. Councilman, how are you?
Doing pretty well. How you doing, Bill?
Very good. One of the candidates, Larry Esquivel, from San Jose, dropped out. Do you like this pool of the three candidates, Steve?
Well, the one thing that I find intriguing is the guy that used to be a police chief in Provo is now in an advisory capacity with a research firm advising on policy matters, different law enforcement agencies, and so that I'm going to try and get down to hear the panel discussion of the candidates. I'm interested in hearing what the citizen panel has to say. On their face, their resumes, one's, as you just correctly noted, one's a deputy police chief out of Dallas, which is a comparable-sized agency. The one in Richmond is not as big as ours, not as big a budget. I'm not sure that that is a tipping point either way. I'd like to hear the panel's assessment of them, but I'm a little bit intrigued about the guy who's doing the policy advisory from this think tank. So, it's a diverse panel. A diverse group. It started with about 60. We had a professional headhunters out pounding the pavement nationwide, and they pared it down to, as you noted, four, and we're going to get a recommendation from the city manager. They do have more interviews to go through, though. They're going to talk to the police union, the police command, and also the city's executive leadership team before Mike Ortega makes his recommendation. So this is really just the first bite at the apple for these guys, and so they got some more sledding to do.
Well, whoever takes over the department, they're going to inherit some big issues. They're going to have a police force that wants more money, that's for sure.
Well, more money, more staffing. We are down in staff, and that's a legitimate concern. One of the issues that I know that I and my two appointees to the citizens panel are very interested in is the concept of community policing, which really requires more staffing than just your regular ride around in a patrol car kind of a policing. So, yeah, you're right. And in addition to the money and the staffing issues, we also have the whole public safety pension issue that whoever this police chief is going to have to weigh in on. Not that we have direct authority over it. It really is managed out of the state. But there's more litigation coming, and we will get probably a $15 to $20 million bill sent to us next year for decisions the state legislature made a few years ago in changing the way they were they were paying the public safety pension. We're going to have to figure that out. So yeah, the new police chief is not walking into to just smooth sailing. There's some significant issues that we're going to have to handle immediately.
I was disappointed Lori Esquivel of San Jose dropped out. I worked in the Bay Area in San Jose in TV for 8 years. A little bit of time ago, but I do remember San Jose having an outstanding police department and really one of the nation's leaders, Steve Kasachek, in community policing.
That's key. And so I will be very, very surprised if either Mike Ortega, city manager, or the council in approving the recommendation come up with somebody who does not have that as his orientation. Community policing is so key to just developing rapport with the community, getting out of your car, shaking hands, meeting people. We do a little bit of it right now. We have a thing called Coffee with a Cop that many of our officers participate in throughout the course of the year. But community policing is a whole different level of engagement. And you're right. I mean, San Jose does it well. We have this staffing issue, though, and so it's going to be an interesting conversation as to how do you get to the goal of establishing a community policing philosophy while you're also trying to work recruits through an academy.
Ed made an announcement during his news headlines right before the show about Rio Nuevo having to decide on that 30 acres just west of the freeway at the base of a mountain. There's been some various uses for that. It's what been a landfill. And what will it take now to develop that particular parcel, Steve?
Well, I think that there's a whole lot on the west side that needs to be discussed. That parcel is one. There's the whole Gadsden development that we have been kicking the can down the road in terms of extending the company's deadlines for far too long, in my opinion. There is a parcel immediately on the east side of downtown that Alan Norville just bought from Rio that is developable, but he's got some timelines. So I think that we're right at a tipping point where, beginning with Alan Norville's property and working to the west, to the one that you just described, including the Mission Gardens. Rio Nuevo agreed to put $1.1 million into the Mission Gardens, and here, just in the last couple of days, the county administrator, Chuck Huckleberry, has sent a note to the group saying, "We, the county, do not agree with your proposed development." So lots of different issues going on, beginning with Alan Norville, working to Friends of Tucson Birthplace, the Gadsden Project, and now this one that needs mediation. I am pleased that we're seeing a whole lot of positive stuff going on over on the east end of downtown. We've got a hotel going in. We have some very compelling proposals for the Ronstadt Transit Center. We have some housing going in on Stone, actually two different projects going in on Stone. So it will be nice to see the west side of the freeway catch up to what we're doing on the east side. One of the challenges I think that we have to get our arms around is how long are we going to keep allowing the Gadsden Development Company to try and figure out what they want to do before we simply call some bonds, which, by the way, we could have done back in July for $1.2 million, put that into our general fund and kind of force Gadsden's feet to the fire, saying, market the property to somebody who's got the capacity to do something with it.
I mean, this Gadsden thing has been going on for far too long.
7 years.
Seven years.
And I like the guys a lot. I'm afraid I'm not on their Christmas card list anymore because I keep voting against the extensions. But, we had some performance bonds, and two of them have come due. It's $1.2 million that we have to call, or we're going to be in violation of the state gift clause. And so I don't know why we're waiting. It's $1 million that we could have been putting into our general fund to help balance what's going to be a $40 million deficit next year. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, these guys, great intentions, but put the property on the market, make a deal so that we can get someone over there with the capacity to develop something, because that's going to help kickstart the rest of the development that, I mean, your question was as to the 30 acres mm-hmm. that needs the remediation. so many of the dominoes fall once the first one starts, and Gadsden has got to be that first one.
How do you think the bonds will do the bond election here on Tuesday?
Well, how do I think they'll do?
Well, give us a little prediction here.
I think some will pass and some will fail.
Okay.
There's been a lot of talk about, you know, you got to vote them all up or all down, but I think the voters are going to be more nuanced than that. It's $815 million in seven different questions, and that sounds like a huge number. It is a huge number, but when you boil it down to the impact on property taxes, it's about $20 a year for an average house. So it's not really confiscatory, but I think that right now people are watching their pennies. They're saying there's $20 here, you raised our water rates, the sewer rates went up, you know, property taxes are going up anyway, the assessment went up, and so I think people are going to look at them. We got some really important ones, you know, the roads. I will say this, we've got 99 projects incorporated in that package.
Mm-hmm.
If we could pull one of those projects out and put it up or down, it would be the Sonoran Corridor, in my opinion. I think that is the single most important thing that we're voting on with respect to those bonds. It's embedded in the road package. The Sonoran Corridor is a connector down on the southeast side that is going to help us to catalyze an east-west development with aerospace and defense. It will help us connect to our partners in Mexico coming up by 19. It is absolutely critical that we protect Raytheon out there with a buffer, and that this would help to do that as well. So if I had to pick one of them, that would be it.
Okay, Steve, stick around. It's 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Thursday afternoon, we're going to take our first break of our hour. We'll be back with Councilman Kasacek. Lots to talk about on this Thursday afternoon on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at SOAZNewsX.com.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Okay, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Steve Kasachek, Ward 6, Democrat Councilman on the phone with us on the live line. And also on the live line is caller Jeff to the program. Jeff, go ahead. You're with the councilman.
Yes, hey. Good afternoon. I am very curious as to why Deputy Chief Batista was not given an opportunity. I love the concept of hiring from within. Nobody knows Tucson better than our own police force. If you could answer that question for me, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Well, I can't because I wasn't a part of the process by which all of the candidates were initially evaluated. I can tell you that there were four internal candidates. Batista was one of them, and I agree with you. I like the guy a lot, Ramon. There were 60 candidates though, and of the 60, none of the four were passed on to be a final four candidate. I will say this, though, that we have three right now who, as Bill already indicated, are in the process of going through this interview phase. They have finished they're about to finish the morning interviews with the citizens panel. They'll then interview with TPOA, the police union. Then they will interview with the police command and then our executive leadership team. If none of them rise to the top the city manager and the rest of them believe qualifies him to be recommended, then we reshuffle the deck, and maybe Batista does emerge as an alternate candidate. But nobody on the council was involved in the initial selection of any of these guys.
This is really we have a new city manager, Mike Ortega. Mike's been in the position I think about 6 months, maybe a little longer, and we're going to have a new police chief. These are some very key positions as we go forward with the city. How is Mr. Ortega doing, in your opinion, Steve?
I think he's doing really well. We have, and so let me kind of go about that answer in a couple of ways, because you touched on the chief of police also. We have some other really significant positions that we have to fill. So I think Mike Ortega is doing really well right now. He's Of the candidates, we had two shortlisted when we went through that process with him. And this is now the fourth city manager that I've worked with, and I think by far he has the greatest savvy when it comes to being able to handle budgets and analyze the structural imbalance that we have in our budget right now. So I think he's going to be a real asset going forward. We do have the police chief, as you mentioned. You also said that Mike Ortega came from outside. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. We are going to lose an awful lot of officers up at the upper level this year, so I understand the sensitivity that some of the officers have about kind of maintaining the institutional knowledge of the force and not hiring from the outside. And yet, on the other hand, new ideas, new thoughts, new approaches are not always a bad thing. So there is that. We are also filling a position on our Planning and Development Services Department. Ernie Duarte moved over, and he's now doing some work for South Point Catholic High. That's going to be a significant position that we have to fill because the planning department is involved in all the business permitting decisions that we engage in, the code enforcement that happens all over town. And the fourth position that is really key that Ed also mentioned in the lead up to this is our zoning examiner. Linus Kafka is an absolute quality professional that does his job at the top of his game. When I read his resignation letter a few days ago, and he put just a very pregnant sentence in there saying that he's leaving because of political interference. If the mayor or any of the other council members are leaning on him on the side to try and get him to make zoning decisions preemptively, that they are wrong in doing that. He needs to operate, and anybody in that position needs to operate completely independently from political interference. So I don't know the details, obviously. He wrote that in his letter. He hasn't said anything beyond that other than the fact that he stands by it. We cannot get ourselves involved in those decisions at that level. And by the way, all he does is make recommendations anyway. We still have the final vote on it. So if any of us were leaning on him to make decisions during the course of his deliberations, we were wrong. Whoever was doing that was wrong in doing that. And quite frankly, it cost us a top-notch professional, and I'm really kind of ticked about that.
Wow, some very key positions here as we move forward. The two propositions on the city ballot that would change, amend the city charter, you see those as being critical?
One of them is sort of vanilla. It's the mayor, mayoral parity. Right now, the mayor doesn't count towards a quorum, and I think everybody kind of looks at that and scratches their head saying, why not? And I think that won't have any problem. The other one is potentially controversial, and what it effectively does is it removes civil service protection from city department heads. That makes them at-will employees. Frankly, I think that's fine. What it does is it allows the city manager the opportunity to put his own team in place and hire and fire them at will, as the phrase implies. If you're one of those department heads, you might take the position that, you know what, I kind of like the civil service protections that I've got right now, and it protects me from the city manager just waking up on the wrong side of bed someday and offloading me. So that one's a little more controversial, but the first one is really pretty straightforward. The other one that we're voting on, not we, but everybody in the community, is the red light cameras. You know, the pros and the cons of that, we were given some data that seemed to indicate that the accidents go down at intersections where the cameras exist. I know some of the people who put that on the ballot are challenging the methodology behind those data. My biggest problem with the cameras is the way that the intersections are defined right now really are catching a lot of people making left-hand turns, and that really constitutes the bulk of the citations we're issuing. So I think there's a question of fairness, not necessarily in the cameras themselves, but how we, the city, are implementing them and those left-hand turns. So that'll be an interesting one to watch.
Well, there is one other proposition not talked about very much, Proposition 405, which would increase your pay.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, so the mayor makes $42,000 a year. Okay. This would increase it to $46,000 or something like that. Council members make $24,000 a year, and it would increase this to something like $26,500. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anybody who would say that those increases are out of line with reality. I mean, these are full-time jobs, and yet, on the other hand, is this the right time to do it? So we did not put that on the ballot. There's a commission that puts that question on the ballot. And did the jobs warrant those levels of pay? Of course they do. Is now the time to do it? That's something for the voters to decide.
How's the Campbell Avenue beautification plan coming along?
Well, it's moving. If you go up and down Campbell, you'll see the construction crews are working away. I do know that there are some concerns from some of the businesses up and down that corridor between Fort Lowell and Prince, saying that putting medians in the middle are going to hurt access to their businesses. So that's another example, though, and we have so many of these, Bill, where we go through a real elongated design and development and planning process that has a lot of public involvement. We're doing it with Broadway. We're doing it with Grant. We've done it with Campbell now, and at the end of the day, people step up and say, "Gee, we didn't get our voice involved." Well, you need to do it early then, and so it's moving. And I think they've got another few months to go before that's finished. But it'll be an aesthetic improvement. If not, the access to business is not going to be helped.
Well, it's really hard to believe that some could say that they're not getting their voice heard in Tucson, Arizona, because one of the knocks is that we talk everything to death.
Well, and that's true. And so we have two items on our agenda next week, which are going to be developments, which I think are very good developments. We've got one is in the Broadway Village, another one's at Broadway and Rosemont. It's going to be private sector retail development that we need for the tax base. And they have gone through extensive public involvement. One of them, the Broadway Rosemont, has 49 conditions built into it by the zoning examiner, which is an indication that the developer has been very responsive to what he's heard during the public process. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, we can talk these things to death. At some point, the cheese has got to get binding. You got to check the box and make a decision and move on.
Okay, Steve Kasachek, thank you very much for being with us. Hope you have a great afternoon and an upcoming weekend. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks a bunch, Bill. Take care.
Okay, Steve Kasachek with us on Buckmaster as we push toward 12:31. Alex Rodriguez joins us in studio. We'll talk about the Arizona Technology Council, that's coming up. Be right back. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad
is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:36 on this Thursday afternoon. Coming up tomorrow on the Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show, we will be talking law enforcement. We have Chris Nanos is going to be with us, Pima County Sheriff. We were talking with Steve Kasachek about the effort to put a new leader for the city, a new police chief, and we'll be talking with Mr. Nanos. Chief Nanos, relatively new, of course, taking over for the longtime sheriff, Clarence Dupnik. I think Sheriff Dupnik was probably one of the longest sitting sheriffs in the United States in that position. The Arizona Technology Council has put together a very ambitious legislative agenda for the upcoming Arizona legislative session in 2016. Joining us in studio on the Buckmaster Show is Alex Rodriguez, who is vice president of the Arizona Technology Council. He represents the Southern Arizona office of ATC. And Alex is a former president of the Tucson Unified School District, also a one-time congressional candidate and business executive at Raytheon Missile Systems. Giving your full resume there, Alex.
I remember those
days,
Bill.
Yes, remember those days. Interviewed you many times in many capacities.
Yeah, that is correct.
And the latest capacity is the Arizona Technology Council, something you feel very strongly about.
Absolutely.
And are we moving forward with the getting more awareness at the legislature that this is really a key to moving our economy forward?
Yeah, absolutely. Bill, it's great to be back with you and your
Thank
listeners.
You.
And there's no question we're making significant strides and advances in Arizona's economy overall in terms of the high-tech sector in particular. We are excited to announce and release our 2016 public policy guide that, as you said, is quite comprehensive, covers state and federal issues as well that impact really all of us at the end of the day, but certainly our membership base with high-tech companies from large employers, Fortune 100 companies, down to small mom-and-pop high-tech innovation companies.
Well,
yes.
Well, before we look at some of these individual items overall, what kind of how many businesses are we talking about that deal with high tech? Do you have any idea?
Well,
in Arizona?
Yes. First, the Arizona Technology Council currently serves over 820 members. They range from companies like Raytheon here in Honeywell, Avnet, a lot of the large companies, as you'd imagine, to specific technology-based smaller businesses in the state. This sector is growing overall with technology becoming so ubiquitous in what we do anymore, Bill. We really are much broader than when we first got started as a tech council 15 years ago. So there are many of the large sectors of Arizona's economy, whether it's optics or aerospace, aviation or defense, or biosciences or semiconductors, information technology, the health sciences. You know, it's a rich base of activity that's happening every single day across the state.
Are we growing that sector, putting more jobs in there? And there's the potential, obviously, to do a lot more.
Yes.
If the legislature were to be perhaps more cooperative.
Well, we've been working hard with a number of our legislators already in leading up to the 2016 legislative session. I think we have a lot more interest in this area overall in light of technology and its impact on the economy. But I have to tell you, there are certainly areas for improvement. We currently have a big problem, for example, in information technology, where there's high demand for high wage paying jobs and yet very few skilled workers in the state ready for those jobs. Mm. So that's a big problem and a big gap that the Tech Council is working with others, other partners to address it head on and be able to offer stronger, higher wage paying jobs in this and other sectors.
One of the issues, your action item that you're hoping that the legislature will consider, restoring some funding to the Joint Technical Education District, known as JTED.
Yes.
And JTED sort of fell through the cracks in the waning hours of the 2015 session. And I know a lot of people are looking to hopefully get that funding restored to full funding.
Yes, absolutely. We are calling for full restoration of funds for the JTED programs. Here's why they're important. Young kids in our community, young adults, high school students, and they take very technical curriculum that leads into a job immediately after taking that type of training. And it's important because it affects the economy immediately. This isn't something that you wait 2, 3, 5, 10 years down the road for. It is something that's required today by our employers. And it's in every field, from construction to aerospace and defense, manufacturing. So it's very, very important that we look at JTED as a key part of the 2016 appropriation cycle.
And, of course, funding for education, a special session going on at this hour.
Yes.
Up in Phoenix. It'd be very interesting to see how all of that sorts out, but that's so important to what you do in the high-tech area.
You know, after 5 years of this ongoing lawsuit, we fully hope and expect that there's a positive outcome at the end of the deliberations and discussions happening in Phoenix now. We support the governor's leadership and certainly the Arizona State House and Senate in getting it done. You know, making some progress on education with removing the lawsuit as an impediment, and frankly, just moving towards putting more resources in the classroom today with a plan, a game plan going forward. The plan that's on the table in Phoenix right now will inject another $3.5 billion into education over the 10-year period. And, there's always room for improvement in education, no question about it. The stronger our pre-K to post-secondary education is overall as a system, Bill, the stronger outcomes we will have in the economy.
Alex Rodriguez is with us. Matthew would like to speak with Alex. Go ahead, Matthew. You're on the live line at 790-2040. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to commend Alex, the Arizona Technology Council, and TechLaunch Arizona for having a lunch a couple days ago where I just want people to understand the importance. They brought the director from the new office for the West Coast region that's located in Silicon Valley, John Kavecka, to Tucson to meet with people. And he gave a primer on the entire process for his office on patents and trademarks. I can't imagine any other location to how beneficial that is to people who want to pursue anything, whether it's biotech or high tech. And that's the type of things that Alex is doing for our community. And to have relationships like that with the West Coast director is unbelievable.
Thank you,
Matthew. Thank you very much, Alex.
Yeah, and thank you for the shout-out, Matthew. We appreciate you being engaged with us very much.
That was a good session then that you had.
It was fantastic. You know, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office is doing something different. They actually moved out of Washington, D.C. and to where the action is at.
Wow.
And believe it or not, it was here in Tucson this week. So a very important point made by Matthew.
Other items that you'll be pushing for, recapitalization of the angel investment tax credit?
Yes. So in order for the state to move forward with higher wage jobs of the future, really, we're supporting a trifecta, which is world-class education combined with world-class talent in the workforce today. And the third of the trifecta is access to capital. So what this Angel Investment Tax Credit does, which, by the way, it's a program that's already on the books, it's authorized. We simply need to invest $20 million into it. It gets investment capital off the sidelines and into the startup environment, the early stage environment, and into expansion of existing companies.
Alex, going to have to wrap it up. Other items, though, implementation of the Dodd-Frank Small Fund exemption.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about job training programs, how critical those are as well.
They are. It's a program by the Arizona Commerce Authority that's critical if we're going to attract and help expand existing companies across the state.
Alex Rodriguez, thank you very much. Where can people find out more about your organization?
Yo, please visit us at the Arizona AZTechCouncil.org.
All right. Alex, have a great rest of the week and a nice weekend coming up. Thanks.
Bill, thank you very much. Happy Thanks. Halloween.
Yeah, there you go. 12:46 at Buckmaster on a Thursday. Back right after this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and termites. Termites is serious business. I'm telling you, talk about eating your home away. They can do it. Best call I ever made, five-star. Five-star termite and pest control. A great job. They leave no mess. They're economical. And guess what? They're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
We're five-star pest control. We know what bugs you.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Discipline and drive aren't on the shelf at the corner store. They're a part of who you are and the business you're building. We get it. That's why Cox Business and Inc. magazine invite you to attend Get Started Tucson. Join us for this free one-day live event Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. This is your chance to network with other innovators and entrepreneurs, to learn from experts on how to secure funding, and to watch contest finalists pitch their big idea for a prize package worth thousands. Visit coxblue.com/getstartedtucson to reserve your spot. It's free to attend with complimentary drinks and hors d'oeuvres. Don't miss Get Started Tucson, presented by Cox Business and Inc. Magazine. It's Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. RSVP today at coxblue.com/getstartedtucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about a three-hour drive over there to that lovely corner of southwestern New Mexico, and certainly with this very wet year we've had, it's very green in the Gila National Wilderness, and of course autumn, the leaves turning. Great time to be hiking over in the Gila. Great places to stay, I'll name just a couple of them. Fayetteville Hot Springs Resort, let's see, Little Toad Creek Inn, and Manzano's RV Park. You can check out Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome now our friend Dr. Mark Sneller to the program. 2015 has been one of the wettest years in many years. Actually, over the last 15 years, Mark, it has been, I think it's the second or third wettest. We certainly needed the rain. Mark Sneller, well known to many people in this community. He founded Aeroallergen Research. He's the author of Greener, Cleaner Indoor Air, and many people know Mark from his many years with Pima County. He was the official pollen and mold monitor until budget cuts ended the monitoring program. Mark, how are you?
I'm very excellent. Thank you, Bill.
Very good. So, what has the wet weather meant? Certainly, it's helped our air quality overall, I would think.
Outdoor air quality, definitely.
Yeah.
It's basically washed out the pollen season throughout the year. We didn't have that desert broom, which I was forecasting, you know, given that it didn't rain, which it did. So, and that's in the ragweed family. That's out of the picture. So really the pollen was pretty low throughout the year. And we did have some peaks of mold during the mold season, of course, July, August, some of September. And then it dried out. With a spate of, and it goes down very quickly once that sun comes out. Mm-hmm. And now we have some more rains. However, it's getting to be a little too cool for the mold's liking. And mm-hmm. so it's not going to reproduce very much. We're not going to see a lot of mold at this time of year as we're heading into November. It just doesn't really work like that. However, that's the outside air. Mm-hmm. But Indoors, we're tracking a lot more dust and dirt into the homes. We're spending more time in the home for whatever reason, and part instrumentation is showing our dust level inside the home is exceedingly high. We track it in, and so my segue on that one is to go to, you know, house cleaning, turning on the heater. What do we do right now?
I always dread that, turning on the heater after the, you know, at the beginning of the season, because it's like, oh my, the dust and the allergens that are kicked up. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Even when you open all the windows, it's
but
it's
you need
nasty.
But you need to do that.
Oh, yeah.
What's settled on there throughout the year, you have maybe a dozen different pesticides. You have fragrances and perfumes that are saturated into the dirt particles. You have plant parts, on and on. I can name 50 things. So those get burned off. And that's what that stink is when you first start it up.
Yeah.
And it is seriously toxic.
It is.
And it is. I mean, you know, carcinogens and so on. So when you're going to turn on the heater, open up the doors for a while until that smell is gone, get some cross ventilation. And then, of course, then you have to deal with the dry, low humidity indoors.
790-2040 if you have a question for Mark Sneller. He's the man when it comes to air quality. We follow Mark on his Facebook page, and he's been trying to put out a tip a week, actually more than that. Maybe every other day you put out kind of different tips, don't you?
And yes.
The most current one was talking about getting the heater cranked up. You know, also, we're running the coolers. It used to be we'd turn those things off probably early October. You know, our cooler, we've got the two swamp coolers at home, and they're still going. They're still going, and so they go longer. And I wonder, you know, that the air quality probably isn't as good as when we first turned those things on back in April.
Yeah, that's definitely true. The pads are saturated with lime. You're going to get a lot of free water into the house. And the idea now, since the humidity is elevated outdoors, run it without the water in there and see if you'll still get some air movement, but you won't be saturating your indoor air with water droplets. Because when that humidity starts getting up there around 70%, you can bet mold's going to take over, and it will go in a flash. It'll take over that house. So, you know, keep your windows open as normal when you're running your cooler. But I would say either change the pads or don't use it.
And shutting it down for the year, just kind of do a maintenance before or wait till next spring?
That's up to you. Yeah. That's up to you. But I try to change mine out two or three times during the season.
How are we doing? You say that the pollen, it wasn't as bad as it has been in
years
past.
It's been quite well.
Yeah.
The trees got washed out, the tree pollen in the spring. And normally this fall, during the fall, we have careless weed, ragweed, some ragweeds, most of our ragweeds in the spring, and a lot of other tumbleweed and, you know, like that Russian thistle. And that was pretty well just really confined to localized areas. I'll pick up a pollen grain or two hither and thither, but nothing really serious. And people, of course, we have some of those things are highly allergenic, so it doesn't take much to trigger a response. Nonetheless, it's good for us outdoors so far.
How is your book doing, The Greener, Cleaner Indoor Air? I understand it's now been published in several different languages.
Yes, it has been. And I'm trying to get them to publish it in Scandinavia now. But the South Koreans I have six copies of it in South Korean. I can't read them. I don't know which way to turn the book. But it's quite an impressive tome that they created. And what they did is they bought it for to download electronically, because South Koreans are like us, and they walk around with their phones in front of their faces, and they read things that are downloaded. And my book was downloaded to them. So.
And you've got the chapters, you've keep it pretty simple, and you cover a lot of ground.
Yeah, it's available on Amazon. You can get the hard copy or the electronic version of it.
And when you talk about keeping your home greener and cleaner, you have talked in the past about not tracking in a lot of allergens by taking off your shoes at the front door. When we were over in Hawaii, that's a custom at just about every home over there. They all take their shoes off.
Yeah, of course, they have those trade winds that come through.
Yeah,
anyway,
right.
They blow away anything that's bad.
Yeah, but you advocate maybe doing that here.
I definitely advocate that. I've gone into many hundreds of homes that where people will request you to take off your shoes at the front door. They might even have a chair for you there. And you can see the family's shoes are all lined up there. And that helps because most of the dust and dirt that comes into the home is tracked in. And in that dust and dirt are literally a dozen different pesticides. And those pesticides get absorbed into the dust. They go into the ductwork and so on and so forth. And then we step on it and we grind it down to finer particles. And all right, in the master bedroom, I won't get into it too much, mm-hmm. but it's critical in the master bedroom that you take off your cover off the bed every week. Shake it out, do whatever you want, beat it, shake it out, the pillows too, because that's that carries 10 times the amount of dust that it is when it's airborne and in the air of that room. And so you get in the bed, you ruffle up the sheets and the pillowcases and the you know, all of that, and you're going to creating a cloud of dust. So just keep that in mind for one of a dozen tips.
And when you travel, try to wipe down, bring some alcohol wipes to wipe down the remote control thing, the phone.
Oh, yeah. And going into a hospital, make sure you've got a spacesuit on to visit a friend.
There you go. So where can we get more information about what you're doing? Go to your Facebook page.
Facebook page, I think it would be a good place because I cite my book, so in case they forget the name of it. And, of course, your program is always listed there.
Great. Mark Sneller, thanks a lot. We're always friends with Mark on Facebook and outside of Facebook. We always welcome him to the program. Hey, have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. All right. Mark Sneller, always a pleasure to have him on the show. For Tucson at 4, coming up with Mike Shaw, one of our fine local talk shows. We have Chris and Joe, 6 to 8, The Daily Double, 8 to 9, Christy Simone, and soon, starting Monday, Sean McCluskey from 9 to 10, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, of course, at 12:04. We've got our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. We'll talk more about law enforcement. Sheriff Chris Nanos will join us, and then we'll have our reporters roundtable as well. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.